today. I just feel good just not just being around you guys, not even doing anything. Is that all right? Okay. Pastor Ashburn ain't here now. He would have shot me. But I just thank God. I don't know, somebody must be praying for me because I really feel good. And it seems like somebody's praying for me. Amen. Our message today is the roar of love of God. And James 2:8. In 2:8 it reads, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. So James, the brother of Jesus, the Holy Spirit saw fit to let him write this, to let us all know there is the king's law according to the scriptures. There is a law that God has according to scripture, and what it is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. God is love. God is the essence of love. Therefore, it makes sense that God talks about love many times all through the scripture. Even our great sacrifice, Jesus Christ, was given to the world, giving to us because of love. Love was the motivator that motivated God to give his son. You see, God didn't have to tell us that. He just gave us his son. But God didn't want to work like that when it comes to giving his unique son. See, and he wanted to let us know what motivated him to do what he did. So he says, for God so loved the world that he gave. See, if God didn't love us, then he wouldn't have gave his only begotten son. But because of his chief creation made in his image, moved him with love. Because when he finished making man, he said it was good. Good to have to mess up one around it. God said it was good. It's good to meet Adam in man's image? Yeah. It was good to give him a free will? Yeah. Good. And I did all of that because of my great love for my creation. I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, and I want to just read that out. Not do a lot of expounding on that, but I just want to read that because when I think of love, I like this chapter here, 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clinging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. Love will put up with some things. And it's kind. Love is not evil. All that evilness, it doesn't depict love, because love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. I'm better than you. I'm this. No, I'm nothing without the Lord. Does not behave rudely. When you see a person continually to behave rudely, say they're a Christian, they love the Lord, and also tell you they're filled with the Spirit of God, that is not biblically true. Does not seek its own. And always about me. Is not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I became an adult, I stopped acting childish. I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now, getting back down here, like I said, and now about it, faith, hope. If you're taking notes, you need to put this one down. Love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Hold it there for a minute. I just rolled through the other ones, but I'm not going to stay long here because I just wanted to include this chapter. And now about the faith. All right, there's our faith. You got to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if I didn't have faith in God, I don't believe I would be carrying myself or living a life like I'm living if I had no faith. I believe I will just try to get all the gusto I can out of life, do what I want to do, say what I want to do, you know, whatever, because tomorrow we die. But we have faith in God. I believe that God is, and I believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, because I got faith in God, I continue to seek God. Right? I'm not seeking God in a sense of trying to find whether God exists or not. I'm seeking the will of God for my life. I'm seeking God, what it is you have me to do. I even see there's some things can look spiritual and even be spiritual, but they're not necessary for me to do. That spiritual thing is not necessary for me to do. And don't you know, I could go and do a spiritual thing and be out of the will of God. Just like now. Right now, I am doing exactly what God wants me to do. I can go and say, okay, boom, I'm going on the field, the missionary field with Kuma or whatever. And if God didn't tell me to go, it's a spiritual thing, right? And there are souls. But that assignment was not given to me. This one was. See, we need to know that we know what it is that God told you to do. That's why sometimes folk don't understand it. Now I understand better that there was an evangelist, Dr. Jones, Walter. And when I got saved, came to Calvary, and I wanted all kind of Bible study I could get. And I was asking people, okay, after church, is there somebody have a Bible study somewhere? And I remember somebody told me Walter Jones got a Bible study every Thursday or whatever up in Bell's Mill. And I would get off from work. Matter of fact, I took Bernard up to that Bible study. I would run up and make that 5-pound cake, hot pot belly stove in the little house, all his books. And I remember sitting there, just eating the Word of God. He loved to teach the Word of God because we call those guys the Bible boys. But he said God called him to be an evangelist. And I remember he would always, as I began to grow, then God called me in the ministry. And once I became a minister, I remember Walter was telling me, hey, man, get you some cards. And come on, go with me. Because he'd go around to different churches and things, and he said, when you go there, give the preacher your card. You know, let him know, you know, he may open up a door for you to come and preach. Which now, nothing is wrong with that. You follow what I'm saying? There was an old minister trying to help me out. Nothing wrong with that. But here's the point. God didn't call me to be an evangelist like that, the office of an evangelist. Not to evangelize, but not that office that he had. And he would go freely. That didn't turn me on. I would go sometime, and sometime I said, I'm going to stay here and learn. Not fully knowing all that God was going to do with me. So I ended up teaching the pastor class. I ended up doing all the baptism for the pastor. Because I wanted to, I was into what my pastor was doing, not fully knowing that God would one day call me the pastor. And that's why my leaning was toward pastoring. And because I was there in place, his back started hurting him. He turned, going place, holding the towel, taking the people in the room, reading with them, reading the Word of God while he prepared, and all of those kind of things, not knowing one day I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to need somebody to take the people in the room while I'm preparing, all those things. So my bent was toward pastoring. So therefore, everything I pursued was down those lines. And he used to get hot with me, but he didn't fully understand. God didn't call me to run around like that. God called me. Now, it's okay he called you to do that, but that's not what he called me. And I just gave that example. You can do something that's spiritual and still be out of the will of God. If God didn't tell you to do that. All right? It's still a spiritual thing, but it's not what God called you to do. Okay? So know what it is that God called you to do. Okay. How did I get off on that? But we thank God for love. And I want to look at five things pertaining to that love that we have here. As Jesus approached the end of his ministry, he gave his disciples a badge by which they could identify each other. He gave a uniform with which to clothe themselves that would indicate to the world that they were his followers. This badge or uniform is revealed in the following statement. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. John 13:5. Now, this is very important because God is saying, in a sense, this is a badge, and I like to say a badge of honor, Danny. See, if I understand, that's why I try to teach. That's why I try to teach. Because I don't want us to miss none of the things that God wants us to have. Is that right? Am I right there? I shouldn't want you to miss anything that God has for you. So God is saying, loving one another is so important. God say, it will put you on blast. What it would do, it will stick you out there. It will let everybody know that you're his disciple. Wow, wait a minute. I thought some other things would let you know. I think this and this, okay, that's okay. But we got his word right here. We got the word of God, Sister Boone. See, you can do a whole lot of things, Sister Boone, but you don't love your brother or sister in the Lord. You don't love them, all right? Now, I'm not saying you do, but I'm saying, but God says, when you do, it's a big badge on your chest. A neon sign goes off. The demonic world don't like it. Because what it is, you are working for Jesus. And that love, Dave, when I love you and you love me, Mr. Dave, it shows the demon world and all others, according to the word of God, that we are the disciples of God. So it's not a little thing for me to love you. Man, I had to catch myself. It was so beautiful this morning, and I was running a little late with my wife. Wife was trying to get myself together, but when I got here, I left some things in the car. They go back, and my helper hit the car. They try to help me. And then my wife Alma Barrow come get her. And so there's a little routine, but Brother Kason walked in first, and he said, "Brother, I just want to pray with you. I just want to pray with you." Shut the door, and you got to know, Brother Kason, we sat there and we prayed. And he's not knowing what I'm going to preach or nothing like that. Don't nobody know. And then he said, "Brother, I love you. I love you." All right? When I walked in the door, Alvin said something to me, still dealing with love. Just we kept walking, but boom, just... Ronnie, shot cross. Now, I'm going to talk about this. Nobody knows I'm talking about it, but I felt it. And not only that, this way to catch myself, because when I went back and sat at my desk, put my thoughts together, then I came to my door again. The other brothers came in. "Come on, Pastor, we're going to pray with you. Get a few minutes." And I started to say, "I just said, Brother Casey just prayed with me." But see, I'm telling on myself. Because I'm feeling an urgency now in getting my thoughts together. So I got to hold them together now because I'm getting older. But I didn't say that. I caught myself. And like the Lord spoke, don't say that. Don't say that. You need all the prayer you need. You know. It came to me instantly. But what I'm saying, it was not just the prayer, y'all. It's tying with my scripture. Every one of those men that came in to pray with me loved me. Not only do they love me, I know they love me. And I'm showing you this in scripture. I don't want to make it on the top of my head that we don't have no verse and chapter for and tell you the word of God. So the thing that I'm reading, they demonstrated it. Like some of my older preacher buddies used to say, "Ricks, we need to see something in britches." All scripture quoting and this and that, but I like to see it in britches. You got to understand that, what that's all about. Okay, all right, but all of this goes together with what I'm saying. But let us take a look at these five things that God wants us to know. The first thing we want to look at, God says, when you're looking at this royal love of God, thing is the love of God. Matthew 22 and 37. The love of God. Bruce, you gonna help me? Okay, all right. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Every part of your being, you need to love God with it." See, I don't love nobody that much that they would make me stop coming to church because I love them that much. You follow what I'm saying? Just to be with them because they don't want to go. That's what I'm talking about. If you got to work or something like that, I understand that, different things like that. But what I'm saying, because I'm using the word love, Sheila, and see, God is telling us how to love him. He's not just telling us to love me, but he's telling us to what degree to love him. See, if I'm loving it with all, Sister Paula, I really ain't got too much left. And when you fall in love with my Lord like I am, and then I'm to love you, hey, we can walk together. How can two walk together except we agree? Huh? Amen. When you love the Lord and I love the Lord, we're already in agreement. See, you ain't gonna fool me. I know whether you love the Lord or not. That don't mean everybody's on the same spiritual level. No, 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 no. But please, love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Give him all. There's a song say, "Give him all," isn't it? Give him all. That don't mean you ain't no earthly good. We ain't talking about nothing like that. We're talking about because you love him like that, you do earth a whole lot of good. You try to cut lights on in earth where folks stand in darkness, and the Bible say they are darkness. You come and shine the light of the gospel, the glorious light, letting people know there's a way that you can become the light of the world. You let them know that. Because first he says, you got to love me. The next he says, love of neighbor. Matthew, let's look at 20 and 39. Go down to 39 and see. And the sucker. I like this. First God. God is always first, right? The Bible says Christ must have the preeminence. Meaning Christ must have first place. One of the things, let me tell you why all of this is important. Because too many of us is giving Christ second, third, and fourth place in our lives. The preeminence means first place, first in position. And second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. A lot of love going on, isn't it? Amen. A lot of love going on. And so, if you get hot with somebody trying to love their brother and sister in the Lord, the way they treat them, the way they pray for them, the way that they encourage them on in the Lord, and you get mad with that person, you need to understand they're doing what's right. See, don't get hot with folks doing what's right. See, a lot of times we'll get hot with people that's doing what's right because we want to do what's wrong. And a lot of times I'm mad with you, Sheila, because your light is shining on me. But also, say for instance, there's some folk who've never been taught this from the Word of God, not understanding the how and the why, or who said it. Did God actually say it? That's why I try to use the Word of God. And also what to do when you got a address, a biblical address, you can go home and study deeper to know for yourself what's going on. So we see this love that's going on. First, the love of God, love of thy neighbor. And now God comes back. He even gets involved in the marital affair. Ephesians 5, 25 and 33, when it comes to loving your wife. You know, this is amazing. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. It's amazing when God speaks here about the love of your wife, he uses Christ's example of his love for the church as your gauge of how you're loving your wife. So it let me know it's not a little thing with God when he tell you love your wife. Okay? Now we know that, because I'm dealing with the love, we know what he also tell her to do, you know, honor your husband, respect your husband. And I like to say this because God made male and female. He know how you function. He know what you need. And God also instituted marriage. Yeah. God did. And so he know how everything works. And he realized that the way he made man need to be respected. You break a man down when you take his respect from him. And see, that's why a lot of times it's a lot of these guys, they're in jail or they fight fast when they say, man, what you fighting for? Man, he disrespect me. He disrespect me. Ain't nobody gonna disrespect me. Have y'all heard that? Huh? And that's a man thing. All right? But this comes from God. God created him that way. A man associate you respect to him as you loving him. See, you can't disrespect a man or your husband and then, Nick, I love you, baby. You know he's still thinking about? How you disrespect me in front of your friends, your mama, your daddy. You disrespect, I mean, I see you. And even sometimes you act shame of me. I see that too. Tell you something. When it seemed like all the world turned against a man, as long as he got his wife in his corner saying, baby, you okay, you can do it, it keeps him solid. Amen. I'm not preaching on this right now, but I'm going to have to turn around at some point and come back and bring some of my marriage counseling material out and preach it in here. And you guys are thinking about getting married. You need to know God has already set it up. Your wife is to love. You are to love your wife. Now, but it comes to this now. Love my wife as Christ loved the church. Now I got to know how did he love the church? Or how do he love the church? He gave his life for the church. Am I right about it? He's interceding for the church. Huh? He's still loving the church. Huh? He don't allow Satan to accuse the brethren without defending the brethren. Come on now. Huh? He's our advocate. Huh? He's standing in the gap. So part of your loving is demonstrating when you stand in the gap. Huh? You standing in the gap for heaven. He may come home and that hectic job as an engineer and he's going through something and he come home and you all evil and laying him out and all of that. And say, you ain't asked me how was my day. Eileen, you didn't the pastor just teach? I've been disrespected on my job all day long. And God told you, honor your husband. I can't get no respect on my job. When I come home, I can't get none. That make a man want to leave home. Same thing when you give your wife enough love that them guys on the job or wherever she go, they're not cutting, they can cut their eye, but they can't outlove you. Don't you make love a little thing when God told you make it a big thing. Pastor Ricks, I'm giving you scripture. And this is for me too. That's why I love my wife. And even more what I understand what God means by it. Oh, okay, it's one thing. You loving her when she got it all going on and she's a go-getter, she's in that. But when she can't do those things anymore, how do you love her? I want to keep her looking just as good as she did before. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it, but I do the best I can because I got a mandate. I have an assignment. My assignment not just to preach to you guys. My first ministry is to love my wife. And I didn't say it. God said it. So when anybody gets so super scripture, Pastor, you better love us first. No. I didn't teach you that. I did not teach you that. God told me to love her as Christ loved the church. That's my example. And God say, mimic Christ. Since y'all help me out, am I wrong, Joan? Brother Jackson, wake up over there now. You're dealing. See, well, I'm fair now. If you always say it, then our pastor went over here to Arlene and Parker, didn't he? Didn't I go over here? And I went over here. Don't just say I'm picking on her. Trying to balance it. Y'all stop messing with me. Let me finish. And get out y'all way. Because y'all can hear this anywhere. Y'all get plenty of this when you're home. Right? Don't y'all? This. Why is my wife back there laughing? Why? Don't meddle, Ricks. Get back to the word. Yeah, I tell you, man, I love my wife too much. What you mean? I bought her a dress 2 years ago, and she asked for another one. I don't get that. What example do you follow in loving your wife? Do you have an example? Have God assigned you an example? That's my little scenario. Wonder now you know what you want as you read. That's your business. But I often wonder, God, why did you go back up to the man part, Steve? You got we at here. All right, yeah, you go back here. Fine. No. The white part. I'm gonna come back here, y'all. So that just hit me. All right. Nonetheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as Christ, as his wife as himself. And let the wife, okay, see that she, this is where I get the respect from. See it? Respect her husband. Don't answer from the floor, but you can let me know later on. Why do you think God said respect the husband, but husband love the wife? Why did he use those two different words? Why did the Holy Spirit use those two different words talking about the two that became one? You're no longer two anymore. The two become one. Huh? Come on, talk to me, husband and wife. But just Selah on this. Why didn't you just say both? Okay. See that she respects her husband. You know, the world has so much disrespect in it. Even husband and wives, unions and children and parents, so much disrespect that it comes on automatic now. And also, the disrespect, I can disrespect and you're supposed to accept it. Well, it ain't about whether I accept it or not. God don't accept it. Because say, children obey your parents. Husband, love your wife. Wives, respect your husband. God is letting you in on a secret. One of the reasons, and the biggest reason, he letting you in on something he know about you, male and female, husband and wife, that you may not necessarily know about each other. There's a longing for respect in a man, and there's longing for love, emotional. A wife want to know that she's secure. She want to know the rent getting paid. She want to know, are you the strong man? And for anybody doing a thing in this house, they got to take you out. She want to be protected. Let me move on. I ain't in the world, Pastor Rich. Huh? Was it all right? That's man, do you ever ask yourself, God, am I following your instruction of how to love my wife? Do you gauge yourself sometimes? Huh? Okay. Okay, Dave. How long have you been married? Still on your honeymoon, ain't you? All right. let me move on. Somebody ain't forgot. They haven't forgotten my counsel. Amen, amen, amen. Let's move on. How many did I give you? Okay. I see where I got stuck at, and I understand why. Okay. There's nothing cute about, now both got to work together. The husband and wife, you got to work together. Because you cannot be a, the word of God, now you're getting spiritual. I saw the word of God, even wrote down that scripture. I ain't write down nothing the pastor said, but when he hit that, I wrote it down. Because I'm carrying this home. We're going to talk about this. I want to hear the other stuff about Jesus' love. Love my neighbor. I want my wife to love me. I got that damn baby. I mean, respect me. I'm telling you, I feel good. I don't know why somebody's praying for me. It's hitting me. Oh, somebody got me lifted up this morning. But, man. Can't keep forgetting what I wanted to say. That was a good one. What I had about that one. But I like this. God know both of us, so he let us know what we need to do. But every now and then, engage yourself. I know these 40 some years I had to do it and had to put myself in check sometime. But at the same time, you can't. It's kind of hard for a man to love a wife who don't respect him. I mean, the way you and I'm gonna tell you something else too. I'm gonna let you know this. A lot of times men, a group of men, will never tell you, but they can all be around or standing around just talking like that. And they're around you long enough, every man know which wives respect the husband and which don't. They may never say anything to you about it. A man can pick that up quick. He may not never say anything about it, but he can watch you, he can listen to you, and he can tell. So be careful what you put on display. And the same way for women. I remember it was comical though to me when I was in my home church, and there was some friends of ours, Joan, your great friends. We always talk after church. But the husband said to the wife, and all four of us were there together talking, but he went off and said, why you don't love me like Vanessa loved Leroy? She quietly looked at him. She said, if I had a Leroy, if you treat me like Leroy treat Vanessa, I would love you. And they were joking, I believe. Because they laughed it off. But what he was doing, he was kind of hitting his wife with my wife. And she thought on her feet like that. Didn't even break this conversation. She said, if you treat me like he treat her, I love you. See, there's the realities of how folk treat somebody. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes folk want to receive the blessing, but they don't want to be one. So if we bless one another biblically, shouldn't be no problem, should it? Huh? See, it's hard for somebody to love somebody to treat them like a dog. When you go to work and you open up your lunch and you got a nice pork chop sandwich, a little salad and everything in there, and this guy always, you got two sandwiches, man. Can I have one? A joke, you need to wait anyway. I'm going back when we was out in the workforce. And my wife fixed these sandwich things for me. She know I eat two. So she fixed me two. So eventually may go ahead and give them one. But then there's a thought. You got a wife too. I see her come down here and pick a check up. Now that's where it was when I used to work years ago. Years ago. Thank you. I know I'm dating myself. I ain't joking about this. Years ago, when I worked at a dredging company, Ronan, that's what it was. Friday, I didn't pick mine up, but came right there. Cause I guess they didn't trust them. Because payday, somebody will go gamble, go drink, they'll do something. You know, come on, man, come on. Man. I ain't by myself. They get that check, she about to get it. The law. Getting part of it, but anyway, let me move away from the husband and wife. Let's look at the love of Christ. Let's look at John 13:34. See, y'all got me to keep talking. I was talking about marriage. I think some of y'all want some counseling. Go ahead, come on now. Let's. You got it from me? Okay. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. There's nothing wrong with loving one another, y'all. Okay? All right. He said, you disciples, you of all Christians, love. It's nothing like Christians been hating each other for years. I've been hating her for 40 years and I still hate her. I can't stand her right now. Both of y'all saints? Yeah. We go way back together. But I remember she talked about my shoes. That's when I wasn't able to buy none like I want. That's why now I buy the best. And I walk around them and spin when I walk by. Both of y'all saved? You're in your 70s, 80s, you still acting like that? Do you know what God said about loving one another? Huh? Did you know it's a new commandment I give to you? I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to let you have this. That you love one another. You ain't got to ask me what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's about loving one another. See, let's not talk about loving the world. You don't even love other Christians. As I have loved you. He said there's Now, you got to realize, I love you. You don't always act right. I still love you. Sometimes you got to make curse. I still love you. Sometimes you may do something don't nobody know but me and you, but I still love you. Huh? See, I love you because I constantly forgive you. And I paid for your sins of yesterday, today, and the present. So my love is ongoing. When you hurt me, I love you. Man, so when Christ gives himself as the example, as the mark in which you are to see as where you need to go, most of us come up short, right? Well, when he gives us that we can keep trying. See, because he made it very low. I been did that. I did that years ago. I can stop. No. You can't stop because the one that you love may say something or do something and loving them. All right? He said, so I'm going to use myself as an example. And when I look at my life, how much have I done since I've been saved, since you've been saved? How much sin you have done that if Christ loves us the way we love one another, it'd be terrible. But he is saying that I'm asking you to love somebody that I died for. Love. Let me move on to the last one. Don't let you wait. Man, and this one here, this is a hard one. He says, the love of your enemies. Talking about that God kind of love. Matthew 5, 43 and 44. Love your enemies. Now, it will take being spirit-filled to do this, right? But guess what? God say, be ye, command, filled with the Spirit of God. Huh? So there it is. Now, I got to say, wait a minute, God. This is rough. Talking about loving my enemies. It's hard for me to even ask for the filling of the Spirit to love them. I'm going to say what some of y'all won't say, but you do it. I'm asking you about, I got so many other things I'm asking you to fill me for the Spirit for. You ever ask the Lord, fill me with the Spirit of God so I can love my enemy? If you did, okay, but if you didn't, you ain't got to. You ain't got to say that. But in a sense, too, here it is. You may not want to be around them, all this kind of stuff. But if opportunity comes for you to lead them to the Lord, and you're the only one there in the house or wherever you see them at, and they're going away from you. And you know if they go away from you, not receiving Christ as their Savior, they're going to be absent for the body, but present in hell. But they lift their eyes up with torments. So. God says, the reason I'm telling you to love them, even if you're not the one to lead them to the Lord, pray for them that somebody God will use. And when God see you praying for these people, you're talking about a prayer. When he sees you, Lord, I'm struggling with this. Watch this. Because I got to be truthful to you. Because see, I am wide open to you. You can see everything. But God, I'm doing it. I'm starting to do this because I saw it in your word today. Are you following me? I'm trying to be obedient to the word. So, Pastor, make sure you give me the word, because when I'm straining to be obedient, I want it to be to the word of God. I don't want to be obedient to your thoughts, Pastor. How you see things, Bishop, or whatever. No. I want to know what Jesus say I should do. Because if Jesus say I should do it, Jesus is going to help me to do. He's obligated to help me because he know my state. But I want to try not all the easy things for me. Because I have the Holy Ghost in me. I want to try what are some of the hard things for me that God want me to do, because I have the helper. I have the paraclete. I have the one to give me the enablement. And when I first think about loving my enemies, I can't do that in the image of my flesh. I got to have more than me to love them when I want something bad to happen to them. But God says, that's why you have the Holy Ghost in you. There are some things, even those in Jerusalem in the upper room, when they were waiting for the Holy Ghost to come and to live in them, the Holy Ghost was the power. He was the power that they needed to be witnesses for Christ. See, you got to understand, when God tells us these things and they seem to be hard, and they're hard according to our flesh nature, but he's not talking according to your flesh nature. He's talking about and the power of the feeling, controlling of the Holy Ghost. He said, I want to love them through you. I know we stop at a certain level of spirituality that we don't want to go. So we cut the pastor right off. Bump. I'm going there. Keep it down here, Pastor. I got to go where the scriptures go. Y'all keep me in prayer. Because I need the Holy Ghost, Raboom, to keep doing this. You follow what I'm saying? I can't keep preaching without the Holy Spirit. I don't feel like getting up to do it. I feel like throwing in the towel and say, enough. But God didn't say it's enough. But I keep coming because there's a power in me. There's a little stronger, not a little, a whole lot stronger than me. It's the Holy Spirit. And he picked me up and said, well, I got a word, Rex. You should never have a word. Now you, all you is a vessel. Now you saying you don't want me to use the vessel. And you're like, all right. Well, I ain't say all that. Yes, you are. See, you don't realize I use who I want, when I want, how I want, and how long I want. I'm big and bad enough to do that. And by the way, you should see it as a privilege, not a burden. See, Lord, I ain't here for all that whooping. All right. Well, what you going to do? Be right in the pulpit. I know some of y'all don't understand. Did you put the last one up? Okay. You have heard it, that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Go ahead. But I say, who's that I? I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Ow. Do good to those who hate you. Ow. And pray for those who spitefully, they doing it in spite. Spitefully use you and persecute you. Rex, someone come through the church, just use you, man. Then they're going to ask for your help. What you going to do? I'm going to help them. You'll do it, have done it, have no other choice. No matter what men say, I'm going to help you. What can I do for you? Where you come short? We need a place to marry. Got it. We need a place to funeralize our loved one. Got it. What you're charging? Nothing. You can give a love offering if you want to. I wouldn't do this for you. It ain't about what you would do for me. It's what Christ done for me. I wouldn't do it for you neither. I would use this as an opportunity to get you back. That's my flesh. See, you got to talk about the flesh nature as well as the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible speaks about it. It speaks about there's a war going on, Charmaine. All this stuff, because I'm saved, I don't talk about it. You better talk about it because you better know the difference between the two. You ain't always filled with the Spirit of God. Okay, that's all. That's all, folks. Glory, hallelujah. My God, my God.